Dear friend, today may be an impossible day for me to get through this morning and this day because there are so many things I want to say to you and so many things I want to bring to your attention. And I don't know if I'm going to have the time, and I don't know if I'm going to have patience of you to sit through this. I am telling you, and I am warning you, that what is happening right now is so fascinating. Irrespective of your political inclination or the like, what is happening now, if you just step back and look at it, look at what's happening. Imagine being in a riot and then stepping back and then talking about the concept of the riot. Being in the maelstrom, in the battle, in the fight, actually in the middle of dealing with the enemy and fighting, and then stepping back and looking at the notion of fights, the notion of war, the notion of all of these. These are aspects, these are instincts, these are times that you literally will not be able to hear on television or be able to discuss. There's nobody really getting into them, and I can go and I have a list of them for you, but I want you to pay attention to what it really means in addition to just the facts of the case. Does that make any sense to you? I hope it does. So we've got a lot to talk about. We've got so much. Alec Baldwin. And I've got a different take on this. Jerry Seinfeld, the mistrial of the rancher. Ben Shapiro against Tucker and Candace and others. This internecine fight among the right. NYU, squatters, The Trump trial, prior bad acts, debates, Biden, gag orders, the end of the college campus, the end of the Ivy League, the end, and how the media are portraying what is happening, and how America's view of what is happening in Israel and Palestine is directly dependent upon what it sees going on at Yale and Harvard and everywhere else. That people will say, oh, Ilhan Omar's daughter, yeah, I have nothing to do with the Palestinian claim. They must be wrong. They must be crazy. Put me in on Israel's side if there is a side of this. Why? Because I hate these people. I hate those protesters. We're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about how the media shift the narrative and how America doesn't know anything about the underlying goings on, but only understands the scrum, the media fight. Sometimes the media, right? Sometimes what the media should be doing. I don't even know where to begin. So first and foremost, dear friends, make sure that you do yourself and everyone a favor. Please make sure that you are subscribed. Make sure that this is so important because subscriptions become unsubscribed for reasons I don't know. Make sure you like the video. And make sure before we begin, let me start off with something. A word from our great sponsor, preparewithlionel.com. I have been with them and love them and love the concept of you having emergency food on standby in the event of whatever. Not just black helicopters or whatever particular conspiracy theory trope you want to use. I love the word conspiracy theory, but But just because of supply chain breakdowns. It could be because of that, or just inclement weather, or riots, or who knows what. And that's why when people say, you know, I've got stuff at home. No, no. This is what food looks like. This is what emergency food looks like. It's to get you by and get you through it, but so that you're not pulling your hair out, you're not going crazy. And right now, this is the deal. This is the starter pack. This is the introductory level, a 4-week emergency food supply where you can save $50, over 2,000 calories a day, 16 varieties of food, 25 years shelf life, breakfast, lunches, dinners, you name it. And this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about some kind of a bag of chips or jerky. Or as one person said, I'll never forget this. He said, I've got a fishing pole. No, we're not talking about a fishing pole. Go to preparewithlionel.com. See for yourself. Save $50 on a 4-week emergency food kit. And also see generators. Just see what is available. This is not some Google. This is not some trifle. This is serious business. And I think you understand that completely well. Now let's start with a couple of things. First, I want to get to the most interesting part about this. And I want to ask you this question. Do you believe, first and foremost, that the media are handling this thing correctly, involving what is happening at campuses? Do you believe so? By the way, I must say something. Speaking of algorithms, our den mother, this sweet, joyous, just bundle of happiness, Liz Solak, wrote to someone apparently named Dick. Hi, Dick. That's all she said. Hi, Dick. And it was hidden. It was aside because the algorithm said, is she being profane? All she did was say hello. That's all she said. Now, later on, I'm going to be doing this. We're going to be talking about Alec Baldwin. But first and foremost, do you believe the media are actually handling and clarifying and being correct in terms of what is happening at the college campuses? And do you believe that their depiction of what is happening at the college campuses, do you believe that their depiction is accurate? That it really gives you a feel for what? So that if you knew what was going on, if you had to ask yourself, you know, I want to really grasp what is the subject matter of what's happening in Israel, and I really feel I know this. Do you think the media have done the right job in being able to explain what is going on? Do you understand this? And when you see these folks, when you see these individuals screaming and yelling and whatever, do you believe? Do you believe that you're getting a sound version of this? Because I got to tell you something. When I talk to friends, when I talk to people, if I'm on shows, and if they are of, dare I say, if they are of an international bent, I try my best to explain the way it's done here. And they look at me like, where do you live? I say, you don't understand something. I'm not trying to be mean, but you don't understand. There is something very strange that's happening here. And what is happening here is the idea that these folks don't really know what's going on. They don't really know. I mean, they think they know. They sort of know, but they really don't. And it is a very complicated story. It is a very, very complicated story that deals specifically with a long dispute certainly 75 years plus, at least since the UN, in Israel. And then you have folks who decide that they are going to come along here now and they are going to address this. They are going to address what is going on in a way that, well, I guess kind of makes sense, but they're going to address it by virtue of sit-ins and having sushi. Did you see this? Smiling. Ilhan Omar's daughter, who says, I was so woke that Ilhan Omar, oh God, Ilhan, oh, just say her name. And that's her daughter. Now, when you don't like Ilhan Omar or her daughter, what do you think is the reaction here? They're going to say, I don't know anything about Gaza. I don't know where Gaza is. I don't know Palestinians from the Palestinian Authority to the West Bank. I don't know who these people are. But if she's behind it, I'm against it. How many people do you think that? How many people do you think that? I do. And that's why somebody should say, Ilhan, yes. Do you understand how you are hated? What? You are hated. I'm hated. Yes. Yes. You don't bring anybody new to this. You push them away. You are despised. And Rashida Tlaib, they may love you in Rafah, but they don't like you here. And you are construed as being a problem. Do you understand that? And with that grinning, when they do this grinning kind of a sarcastic, and that daughter who says, I'm so woke, even my Gen Z friends, what are you doing? What are you doing? Imagine if our civil rights in the 50s and 60s, during Jim Crow, when Black Americans were being strung up. This is serious. Imagine somebody in Tel Aviv or Paris or Beirut, they wanted to protest our plight, and African Americans were saying, thank you, thank you. And they had their version of Ilhan Omar's daughter, grinning like a fool, and people throwing things and sticking spikes in this, you would say, wait a minute, this isn't helping me. Well, it doesn't matter where they're helping. We're having a good time. Yeah, but you're not helping me. You're not helping the cause. You're not doing anything. You're making people hate you. And then you're bringing in these stupid, idiot college presidents who don't understand what the hell to say. They're ruining it because they don't even understand. Do you not know what's happening? Is this the, because they think in their right, look, this is a campus and nuanced, but do you get it? Dartmouth did one of the best. By the way, notice how you never hear about any other campus. Anything? Never hear about any other campus. You never hear about University of Montana, Ball State, Notre Dame, San Francisco State, UC Davis, Florida State. Nope. You just hear about the biggies, right? The elites. Look at these people. Elites? Elite? Do you see anything elite about this? This is elite? Look at this crowd. I'm not going to say anything. Does this look like the best and the brightest? Just do yourself a favor. I'm just curious. Remember the old days, the days of William F. Buckley, and they're walking around in his suits and ties? do they still have skull and bones? What is that about? Skull and Bones used to be the feeder system for the intel services. What do they look like today? What kind of elite secret organizations are you getting now? Are they going to be of the right or the left? Are you going to get a bunch of trans activists in Skull and Bones? This is an anachronism. This whole world is falling apart. You've got to understand something. Years ago, when somebody said, "Hi, I'm a woman and I want to have equal pay." Okay. Are you? Yes, I'm a feminist. You're a feminist. Okay. Well, what's your thing? Well, I think I should be paid the same. Okay. Sure. Well, what is your name? My name is so-and-so. And you're mine. Okay, fine. Thank you. I'm want to hear. I like what you have to say. You make me think. But just one second. I want to talk to this other feminist to see what her point is. And imagine somebody coming in with, remember the 60s? The braless, hairy armpits, kind of that wild pompero furpo hair, tattoos, today's kind of whatever it is, rings. You're a feminist too? Yeah. Well, forget the first one. You just destroyed the image. I'm sorry. This is reality. Let me see if I can explain this to you. I don't care whether you like it or not. I don't care whether you like it or not. I don't care whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care whether you like it. It's the truth. There were people, they had Dr. Martin Luther King, or people would say, you know what, that makes sense. And then there was Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael. Angela Davis, right? That might have worked for a lot of folks in the black movement. But guess who was going to make the laws? Guess who was going to change the laws? Angela Davis? No, some white dude in Washington or some judge. And you've got to appeal to the people that work. It's never ceased to amaze me. So here's my point. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who do your job, those folks who are doing yeoman's efforts trying to work with the CIJ and the South African government and talks about genocide and this and you, oh my God, there's this European, dare I say, there's this rational, interesting, fascinating bill of particulars, this indictment, this very, there's the gray zone, and then there's Ilhan Omar's daughter. Who's in it? I'm just here for the beer. Who loves it? Let me give you an example of something. Let me give you an example. Do you remember Occupy Wall Street? Any of you folks? There was a place called Zuccotti Park. Zuccotti Park was right. It wasn't even a park. It was like this little concrete thing between two buildings downtown. It was this little, they called it a park. Okay. Occupy Wall Street. Nobody knew what the hell it was. Occupy Wall Street. Well, what are you doing here? It was near Wall Street, sort of, but whatever. Okay, fine. So anyway, there it was. And we weren't sure exactly what it was. I think I know what this is. I think I know what, when you listen to the folks who speak about the issues, either who are from the Middle East or more, they're more UN oriented or whatever, whether you agree with them or not, it's rational. They talk about Rafah. They talk about the about what UNICEF does. They talk about this. Jose Andres. At least you're talking about this is what happened. This is where it was. These are the claims. You can argue them. This is it. You can talk about the Nakba. You can talk about the Balfour Declaration. You can have these people who talk about history. Then you have Ilhan Omar's daughter with that grin, smiling. This is great. I love activism. I love this. How am I doing, Mom? Great. Isn't this fun? Love it. At least that's the perception. Now, I've not been there. Have you been there? No. What if the people who went there said, I don't know who Ilhan Omar's daughter is? I don't know where she is. I've been here. I go to school. I go to campus. There was a group there, but how do I even know what I'm getting in terms of whether it's a valid explanation? I don't know. But if you want to get the attention, if you want to go and you said, hi, I'm with the New York Post. I'm with whatever it is. I can go and I can do a video of some great Jewish kids and Palestinian kids meeting to discuss what can be done. Do you think anybody's going to cover that? No. Does it exist? I don't know. That's not going to get any coverage. Ilhan Omar's daughter is. So Occupy Wall Street. So there was this group of people. And I went there. And on TV, you saw this. People with drums. Doing this generic Indian chant that doesn't have any words. That you took from Dances with Wolves. You know, the Tutukwa. They're making this stuff up. But that's what this was. The guy with the drum, kind of like that feller. Remember Sandman with the MAGA hat and the Indian who's not really an Indian. Anyway. It seemed stupid on TV. It's like, what is this? These people are crazy. What the hell are they talking about? And then when I went there, because it was office I'm working at, right next to it. It was just a little. I didn't see this. I didn't see the human waste and people, you know, dirtying the. I didn't see it. But on TV, a different story. Because that's what you want to see. You want to see the stupidity of this, the idiocy. You want to see people who love more than anything else. The one Jewish business professor who says, my car doesn't work. You better let me in. Now, does this help the cause? I don't know what the cause is. Does it help? No. Because you will say, aha, another nut. But then again, you ask, well, what is he supposed to do? How is he supposed to do this? You see what I'm saying? There's reality, and then there's the way the media portray it. And then the people in Gaza. The people in Gaza, the people in the Middle East, people in Israel who are saying, excuse me, who are you? Barnard College? What does that have to do with anything? What do you have to do with it? What does that mean? Well, they're protesting. Protesting what? Protesting what? Well, they're protesting the college's affiliation. With Israel? You mean like a BDS thing? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're doing? Well, I don't know if it's a BDS, but what are you doing exactly? What does this have to do with anything? Anti-Israel protesters carry flares to march on NYPD headquarters after over 150 arrested. Now, you listen to me and you listen good. If you don't, and I know where I know you're going to say, there he goes again. He's being conspiratorial again. I have told you, if you don't believe that there are people right there who are agents provocateurs, agent provocateurs, people who were there to make the anti-Israel. You notice how they say this? Anti-Israel. Not anti-Bibi. Not anti-Likud, not anti-Israeli government, anti-Israel. Remember when they would say this about the people who protested against war? Anti-war. Some are anti-Israel. Some are absolutely, positively, 100%, purely, and totally anti-Semitic. They are against Jews, Judaism, and the Jewish faith. They're in there too. There are others who are that, plus against the nation or the state of Israel. Then there are others who are themselves Jewish, who are against this particular plan and platform of the Jewish government. You have all different kinds of people. But the way the media say is anti-Israel, and this is on purpose, anti-Israel. Okay. Is that true? when you go there, is it, are you, excuse me, are you, Ilan, are you anti-Israel or anti-Israel government or anti-policy? What are you? How do you define this? When you protested the Vietnam War, if you're old enough, were you anti-American? Did you want to turn in your citizenship, or were you anti-policy? These words. But when you have a headline, you got to put something in there. So listen to this story. You see pictures of flares. This tempers flare. Get it? Get the pun? This is New York Post. Anti-Israel protesters armed with flares marched towards NYPD headquarters late Monday night after the number of students arrested at NYU reportedly rose to over 150. Videos of Monday night's protests show demonstrators holding bright flares over their heads while marching towards one police plaza, while others waved flags, banged drums, and chanted Gaza. Do you think, I don't know, do you think this is in essence a version? Is this, dare I say, an Antifa version of the George Floyd thing? Is this legit? I don't know. Videos of Monday night's protest show demonstrators holding, other clips show NYPD officers in riot gear monitoring protesters who chant, "We will free Palestine within our lifetime." Okay. By late Monday, more than 150 protesters had been arrested. Now, what do you think is going to happen? Look at these people. A spokesman for NYU said disorderly, disruptive, and antagonizing protesters packed Gould Plaza, prompting the university to send the NYPD a written request for them to intervene. Written. Protesters were demanding NYU divest from weapons manufacturers and end the school's relationship with Tel Aviv University. Now, of course, look at these groups wearing the keffiyeh, I'm pronouncing it correctly, the mask. Who are these people? And people are screaming and yelling, "Free Palestine." Okay, what do you think is going to be the result of this? Let me ask you a different way. Let me ask you a different way. What is their goal? Does this help? I'm not talking about whether their claim is valid. Does this help, number one? Who are these people? Do you believe, I don't for a moment, that this is all organic groups of people who say, you know what, we're going to get together. And by the way, yeah, I want to, now is about time that we protest against this disentanglement of NYU in terms of Tel Aviv. What? In terms of the weapons. Do you believe this? Do you think this is just spontaneous? Absolutely not. You're being played. And you know this and I know this. Now you figure out who is who. I saw it during Antifa. Didn't you? I'm not saying they're Antifa, but we've seen them before. You know how there are groups of people who say, "What do you need? Hello, Jerry. Can you send over a, I'm protesting, what is it, Palestine? Okay, give me your order. Anti-Palestine? Okay, got it. I got it for you. I got the signs. I got the slogans. I got the movements. I got everything. I got chant." It's like Atpour. What do you think this is doing? What do you think it's then the next time there's a bill, the next time somebody asks, the next time somebody asks the government to back off on their support of Israel, this is going to be the only thing that people are going to say. And they're going to say, these people are crazy. Hamas is terrorist and mission accomplished. So what I'm saying is, if you think you're doing something, great. Just like during Vietnam, when they thought, well, we're going to go in and we're going to take over the president's office and we're going to smoke a cigar and destroy the, The same people who say, we're going to go in and we're going to fight for BLM and we're going to remove history and historical plans and knock over the Washington Monument. Where this nonsense comes from, I have no idea. I have no earthly idea. None. And I promise you, The issue is simply this. What do you want? Do you remember the Vietnam War? Do you remember this? Anybody remember the Vietnam? Do you remember this? Do you know when the protests got really serious? When grandmothers and priests and nuns and folks that you didn't, not the usual suspects. The next time you need me, let's say you call me and you say, listen, I got a problem. What is it? These people are protesting. Why? They're protesting my business. What is it? I don't know. They're claiming that I'm whatever it is. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. Oh, yeah? They're outside. And the news people are going to be here. And, you know, they got some points. They're bringing up some good points about my business. Well, maybe we let some pollutants into the water. I don't know, but I'll take care of it. First thing I do, I pass out drums. I pass out some signs, and I bring in my actors, and they come in there, and I will turn it into a spectacle like that. It'll look like the biggest bunch of jerk-offs anybody's ever seen, and nobody will care. Mission accomplished. This is the oldest trick in the book. This is looks like January the 6th, doesn't it? Remember January 6th? Remember those guys? Remember the FBI and those people who were kind of helping things through? You know, if we could get them inside the Capitol, come on this way. Okay. Because the people who were there, they're just here for the beer. They have no idea. I promise you, I can get anybody showing up if I get them free pizza. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? Let me stop for a second right now, my friends. I think you know all this, but I want you to stop for a second and think about our great friend who, despite what everything is going on, when everything is going crazy, when the world is falling apart and we think there's no such thing as any kind of thing rationally involved, we think of this. We think of this great man and this great product, our friend Mike Lindell from MyPillow.com. Wait a minute. Where's my banner? Hang on a minute. Hold it. There we go. This one, yes, MyPillow.com. Promo code Lionel. Receive a free gift. I love that free gift. As opposed to a gift you pay for. And now, our dear friends, let me see, where is he? Oh, he's right here. Well, it's time yet again to hail and salute our great friends at MyPillow.com. And if you use promo code Lionel, you get a free gift. No purchase necessary. I know, a free gift. Gifts are free. Okay, it's a tautology, so sue me. But listen to me, and listen carefully. What are we talking about here? Down comforters, flannel sheets, Giza Dream bed sheets, MyPillow 2.0 body pillows, waffle blankets, couch and recliner pillows, sheets, slippers, percales. I'm not even done yet. Towels, quilts, bedspreads, mattresses, mattress covers, mattress toppers, linens, kitchen towels, bathrobes, pet blankets, bolster pillows, name it. Items to help you luxuriate and relax. And their monster sellers, slippers, my slippers, slip-ons, moccasins. Think about it. What do they do at MyPillow? What's their main goal? To make things real soft, plush, real comfy. Or comfrey, as I say it. How perfect. So here's the link right now. Go to MyPillow.com/Lionel. MyPillow.com/Lionel or /Lionel. Or call 800-645-4965. 800-645-4965. And watch how fast our good friend Mike Lindell answers the phone. MyPillow.com, promo code Lionel. Simply and absolutely the best. All right, my friends, I want to talk about this one. Did you see this, our friend Alec Baldwin? Did you see this one? Alec Baldwin does a couple of things here. This is everybody's talking about this one. Everybody's talking about this. Alec Baldwin, okay, we don't like Alec Baldwin, okay? And by the way, let me just warn you, there's some rotten language here. So if you have tender ears, please get the kids out of the room. this is exactly what happened. This is what they said. This is what's all over the internet. But in order for you to understand what happened, this is Alec Baldwin. Okay. So first of all, he's on his phone. I don't believe he's on his phone, but then again, what are you going to do? Being on your phone is a great way to ignore somebody. It's a great way to look the other way and pretend you're talking. Okay, whether he wasn't, I don't know. That's number one. So he apparently is seen by somebody in this absolutely rabid, I don't know who this person is, I'm not really sure, but they are assaulting him to an extent. And I want you to watch this, and I want you to think to yourself, what should the company have done in terms of making his safety more of a concern on their part? Let's watch this. And then I want you, the jury, to decide what you would do.
Alec, can you please say free Palestine one time?
Can you please say free Palestine one time? Now, that's, first of all, so far, let me ask you, is there a crime so far? Anything? Anything so far? Is there a crime? Don't forget, what is a crime? A crime is something where you are susceptible to a criminal prosecution, obviously, and also jail. Okay? Can you say free Palestine one time?
Why did you kill that lady?
Why did you kill that lady? Okay, first of all, this is taunting him. He didn't kill a lady. It was an accident. And by the way, let me go on the record right now and just say 100%, as I have told you before, that I believe 100% that he will be ultimately acquitted. In terms of civil liability, the armor is a different story. He's in a movie. He is not to be held to the same standard. If somebody gives him a gun and says, point it, you can presume it's okay. Ask Clint Eastwood, Robert De Niro, anybody else how that thing works, okay? But they're obviously trying to goad him.
You kill that lady and got no jail time?
See, now this is. Now, you think somebody from the store would say, excuse me, ma'am, leave. Because we have a certain duty of care, a certain duty of respect, a certain duty of protection for our patrons. And you're obviously accosting him. Nobody's doing it.
No jail time, Alec.
See, again, he's looking for something. He's trying his best. He's containing himself, okay?
No jail time, Alec.
See, again, annoying. Now, he should kind of be used to this. He's a star.
You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Bull.
Okay, now he's putting his phone down and he's moving either away towards her, or this is where you say, uh-oh, because here comes Alec. By the way, Alec is in the 1958 club. We're all part of the born in 1958. Me and him and Madonna and Prince and Michael Jackson and the whole crew.
Free power.
Now, we have somebody here who might be intervening just a little bit here. We don't know. Not sure. It seems like Alec's doing the right thing. He's walking away. Remember, duty to retreat. I know this may not be the thing to do in real life, but duty to retreat.
Palestine, Alec, just one.
Now, here's this guy here with a mask. Now, whenever I see the mask, specifically the trough, the muzzle, a part of my soul dies. But maybe he figures, look, there might be something else out there other than COVID, so... At least now Alec has this fellow between him and this screaming
time,
woman.
And I'll leave you alone.
See, now Alec is apparently, it looks like I'm leaving. Good for you, Alec. Alec says, not, that's the wise thing to do.
I'll leave you alone, I swear.
Now Alec is going out. Alec says, you know, I've had enough of this. Leave me alone. Alec, so far, 100% perfect.
Just say free Palestine one time.
Now he's saying, get out. Now we get into something. By what authority? Quo warranto. How can you order somebody out? It's almost like false imprisonment in reverse. He's basically telling her, get out. Okay, can you do that? Does he have authority to do that? No. Is this okay, but you know what? So far, good for you, Alec.
One time.
He's saying, no, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be nice.
One time.
Call the police.
One time.
Yeah, Alec's doing the right thing. He said, look, call the police. What am I supposed to do? Why do I have to leave? Would you protect me? Is this the way you handle? If this was an older woman or a child, would you do something to intervene? Why don't you take your muzzle off and maybe breathe on this woman?
Time, Alec. You know he's a criminal.
Now, here we go. This guy's doing nothing. He's got the black gloves on. He's got gloves. He's got a mask. He's worried about his own protection, but not that of his patriots.
You know he's a fucking criminal.
Okay, sorry about that.
Come on, Alec. Just say free Palestine one time.
He's trying his best. He's trying his best. Come on, please, lady, move.
Get out. One time. Just one time. Please.
Okay, fine. Come on. Come on, Alec. Please. Hang in there. You're almost done, Alec. You're almost doing it. You can do it. You can do it.
Free Palestine.
See, and by the way, she's not. Do you believe she actually is a legitimate spokesperson for the movement? I think not.
Fuck Israel.
Oh, see, this is terrible.
Fuck Zion.
Oh, okay. Now let's get to this. Sorry about that. Let me see. This is what Alec says. Let me see here. Here we go.
One time.
Now he's trying his best. Here we go. This is when Alec has said enough. Now he has been perfect, subject to taunts, subject to this vile profanity. Watch this. Oh,
Alec, can you?
Okay, friends, you're the jury. What's the guilt? What's the verdict? Guilty or not? Guilty or not? What's the verdict? And by the way, my apologies. That's on the internet. That was from the New York Post. That's everywhere. Sorry, but you got to get a feel for it. Guilty or not guilty? Guilty or not guilty? Guilty of assault. Guilty or not guilty? Guilty. Marxist. Okay, well, I don't know what that means. By the way, it's always good to say who's the Marxist. Is Alec the Marxist? Is she the Marxist? I don't know. Guilty or not guilty? Guilty. Assault, guilty. He attacked her jail, guilty. Guilty. Laura says not guilty. Let the court decide. No, come on, you can't weasel out of this one. Did she attack him? Nope. Words only. Guilty. Listen. I missed it. I love Liz. Bless your heart. He can't control his anger, true. Nolo contender. He can plead nolo contender. No contest, is what you're saying. Provocateur, okay. Not guilty. There's something called fighting words. Fighting words are no good. Why did she hit Alec with his camera? Very good. Very good. Not guilty. Berries are not guilty. Now, you would have to say, if you were to say not guilty, you as a juror could use the nullification prerogative and say, look, I don't give a damn what it is. Now, what did she do? She's guilty of disorderly conduct, yelling epithets, yelling hate, yelling anti-Semitic things. Is that against the law? No, it's not against the law. Disrupting the peace, the orderly conduct, that's a different story. That's a different story. The answer is, now, self-defense? No. The answer is very simply, in my humble opinion, he hit her. Simply put, sorry, Alex, you were doing great, but you don't have the right to grab somebody's camera. You don't. And by the way, if you said, I wasn't hitting her, I was hitting the camera. No, it doesn't work like that. Years ago, there were cases where somebody was at like a cafeteria. If I grabbed your tray, you know, and I'm going like this, well, I'm not touching you, but I'm grabbing your tray. Or if I grab your purse and it's attached to you, no, that doesn't work. Now, I don't know about you, but most people, I think most jurors would say, you know what, she had it coming, but there's no such thing as that legally. So he technically is guilty of this, but I wouldn't find him guilty. No way. I would nullify it. I'm sorry. I think there's reasonable doubt. I think there's a doubt he might have been trying to swat her or to wave at her and whatever. I'm not going to find him guilty, even if it's Alec Baldwin, because that kind of behavior is just, I find, reprehensible. Now, let me tell you a story, which I'll never forget. I'm not going to mention the actor, but if I mention to him, you know who he was. One of the biggest names ever. And this story was told to me by someone who was well, there. And she is a daughter, so it doesn't matter. But these are big names. This big star was having lunch, and there was this young girl who was there for whatever reason. And he looked out and said, oh, no. He said, listen, have you ever been around this before? She said, no. He said, okay. Well, let me put it to you this way. We're going to walk out there, and they're going to say things to you that are so horrible about the way you look. Am I doing something with you? Are you doing something to me? You're going to hear things you've never heard because this is the paparazzi. And they take pictures. And they want a picture of you. They want a look on your face like Britney Spears at the gas station with grabbing a pole or something, or Sean Penn swinging. They want us to react. And what you're going to do is this. We're going to walk out to the car. We're going to get in. We're not going to look at them. We're not going to smile. It's as though they're not there. You know that Kim Kardashian look where she walks outside and she doesn't hear anything. She doesn't. It's like she looks down and she doesn't. That's the look. You ready for this? I'm telling you, get ready. I do this all the time. They walked outside and this poor girl, they talked about her looks, her weight. They said things that were so horrible about, is she doing this to this actor? And she got in the car. She started crying. He said, see what I go through all the time? But this is the business. And you have to know how to handle this. You just have to know how to handle it. You would think he's been through this so many times. You would think he's been in this forever. He likes this or something. He's never. There are some of us who say, I'm not going to get. I'm not also going to. He doesn't have to have he has a right to be there. Does he want this? Could he go? How did somebody know he was there? How did he walk into this place and this lunatic happened to be there? Happened to have? Because everybody wants to be their own paparazzo, singular paparazzi. Technically, he's wrong. But as a juror, I would say, sorry. That kind of behavior is ridiculous. Now, there was a thing called fighting words, and courts have basically said, there's nothing that I can say to you that can warrant you hitting me unless I do something to put you in fear that you have to do this, because you can only use the same amount of force that I use against you. And if I'm not using any force, you can't use force. It's that simple. Now, he's going through a lot. He is, I believe, as I've said before, that irrespective of what you might think, I don't believe he's going to be found negligent, nor should he, of that shooting. I don't think he had anything to do with that. Aside from that, he's a complete and total jerk. I understand that, but that shouldn't necessarily deprive him of the ability to be left alone. It's that simple. And this is what we're dealing with today. Laurie Cook. But if Sandy Hook family has someone call them liars, you know what's funny about that, Laurie? And it's a good question. There is a difference. You know, whenever you talk about the Sandy Hook case, what I think was the most interesting about that is not necessarily that somebody called someone a liar, but in addition that there were allegedly threats made and there were folks that were goaded. It's almost intentional infliction of emotional distress. That is still one of the most fascinating issues there is. I know people, there are some who might be watching right now, who believe that there was no landing on the moon. None. I'm telling you, they will say, you don't understand this. I've studied it. Okay. That is not within my wheelhouse, so I'm not in a position of guessing, you know. But I know the argument's being made. Okay, fine. What's interesting is that what if I were to say, I don't believe that happened? Am I calling Buzz Aldrin a liar? Well, you said it didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin says he landed on the moon, right?
Yeah.
Well, are you calling Buzz Aldrin a liar? Well, maybe indirectly, but I didn't say it. Yeah, but you are. You're saying it never happened. Okay. As opposed to Buzz Aldrin is a liar and pushing and goading and getting people sometimes who will follow what you're saying. There are people in the radio and in the media world, if you said, go get them, the next time you see, who was it? Maxine Waters. Remember when she said, if you ever see somebody with that MAGA hat, you tell them and you scream and you know, and they did it. And she had to realize, be very careful. By the way, where is Maxine Waters? And where's Kate Middleton? Don't get me started with that one. That was a tough one. That was one of those cases that it got out of control. And the question is simply this. In my opinion, you absolutely, positively have the right to opine about anything. I think it happened. I don't think it happened. I think it happened in a different way. I don't think the media portrayed it the same. We do this all the time. How many times do we talk about something? We say, well, that's not exactly the way it happened. Well, the Vietnam War, that's not exactly what happened. That's, you know. Okay, that's one thing. But then we get into the notion of whether it actually encourages people to take action against others. That's a fascinating issue. That's a fascinating issue. So it's a very good question. We are going to lose First Amendment rights. Oh, one more thing before I forget. If I ran Columbia University, first thing I would do is I would say, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want somebody to pick up the phone. Didn't come from me. I want you to call Elise Stefanik and say, what would you like us to do? Not that we're going to do it, but pick up the phone. Call her. Write the time, write the date, write when you called her, whether she, and see what she says. So that if I have to go and testify, well, Ms. Stefanik, we called you. And we asked you specifically, what would you do? What? We called you. You never called us back. Let's assume that didn't happen. Number two, I think Dartmouth did it the best. I would have everybody in my university, Palestinians, Middle East, Israelis, doctors, lawyers, rabbis, ministers, imams, all meet to form a committee. What do you think? We did this, we did this, we did this. Next, I want to appoint a committee to determine when does speech become anti-Semitic and when does it become acceptable, though anti-Semitic, and is anti-Semitism the grounds to expel somebody? If somebody stands in there and says this, does that policy, has there ever been anything where people said death to communists, death to fascists, death to terrorists, death to bin Laden, death to, is that okay? Is that allowed? And if it is okay and allowed, why? What is the difference? What are the gradations of this? So when I get up there, I don't make this look like she's passing a bezoar, like she's passing a hockey puck. Well, Come on. Stop it. This is the part which I don't understand. This is the thing which I see. This is the thing which I have a hard time with. First and foremost, we've got to maintain the First Amendment. Always. But at least act like it. My God, this woman from Columbia, you've been put on notice. Get all your lawyers together, get all your teams, get all your Middle East, get all of the folks, and you say, I did everything. I put together a team. I have emops. Don't just sit there and don't give me this bullshit about, well, I'm nuancing and this and that. Do you not know how to play this game? But let me tell you something. In the meantime, my world doesn't exist where I say, you know what? That's the way it goes. And as long as you're not hurting anybody or threatening immediate harm, you get to say whatever you want. Well, my world doesn't exist like that. My world doesn't exist. The next thing, which is even more important, is that, do you see what's happening? This is the end of the Ivy League. This is the end of the Ivy League. This nonsense that they're better than we are. This is the end of it. Number three, it's the end of college. You're spending 60, 70, 80, 100 grand a year so that your kid can go and learn from what? From remote learning? Why do you have to be in New York in the first? Why must you be there? Why must you be in the dorm? I know. To get an experience. That's over with. You're going to learn, and we've learned, whether through TED Talks or lectures or whatever it is, you do not have to be in a university to learn from the greatest people of all time. They can be dead. Most of the time in some of these big lectures, you're not asking questions anyway. You're just listening to them. Higher education is dead. First of all, it doesn't do anything. Sorry. It does, but not for an 18-year-old punk. Number two, it's not worth going through a hundred, whatever, thousands of dollars of student loan debt for what? For some degree you can't use or whatever it is. It's over. It's over. And that's the greatest thing ever. You're going to see, was it Hillsdale or University of Chicago or other bastions of university life? That's what you're going to need. This has become the province of the spoiled brat, the entitled spoiled brat. There was this, I told you before, Mattress Girl, Emma Sulkowicz, she went to Dalton. This is where Epstein used to teach. This is where Bill Barr's father was a headmaster. This upper crust Dalton. Then she went to Columbia. You know what? Maybe I'm a reverse elitist. I despise these people. I despise them. When I saw that picture of Schlossberg, Jack Schlossberg, remember him? This is Caroline Kennedy's son. And he was in the car talking about Bobby Kennedy. I wanted to shake my finger at his face and say, why you? Here he is, Yale, Harvard. Oh, please, this privilege. You talk about it. You talk about affirmative action. You talk about DEI. How about this? Because he's a Kennedy, he gets to. This is bullshit. This is nonsense. This is done. We're finished with this. We're finished. And meanwhile, this woman who says, you know, F Zionism and F this. This is the woman or whoever this person is. This isn't helping the cause. These are professional agitators. These are people who are there. Were put there to deliberately deny, to deliberately drive people crazy. It's that simple. Let me ask you something. Have you learned something? Do you have, just tell me, do you have a different perspective, a little nuanced take on this? Are you thinking like, you know, that's interesting. It's the gray. I love the gray areas. Well, it's not this and it's not that. We have a lot to talk about. How about the rancher who was acquitted? How about the fact that Ben Shapiro, they're after Tucker Carlson? And by the way, Tucker Carlson, you know, I respect and admire the fact that he's at least asking questions. Ben Shapiro thinks that alien stuff is some crazy conspiracy theory. He's so out of touch. But he went after Candace Owens and Ben and what he's doing is he is turning out to be the standard bearer. So we have to follow, or they have to follow what you're saying. And whenever you talk about different lobbies. If you say the Israeli lobby, it's like, look, there's Israeli lobbies, there's climate lobbies. There used to be a gun lobby. There was a conservative lobby. There's a left lobby. There's Hollywood lobby. There's the LGBTQIA. There's lobbies and groups and folks all over the place. Why should this? You don't think there's a Catholic lobby out there? Rather weak. Do you see all of this? It's fascinating. And look what they're doing to Elon Musk in Australia. God bless Elon Musk. You go and you fight. Fight, Elon. There's so much stuff. How about Trump gagged by the gag order? And there's also this thing right now is they're going to be doing past prior crimes act to Trump. They're going to do this again. They're going to do this again. They're going to do this again. They're going to use the Access Hollywood tape. But what they're doing is they're not going to be releasing the tape. Judge Marchion is going to be releasing the transcript. Why? Because that sounds worse. When you hear the tape of him, you realize it's a joke. You hear the mirth, the merriment. This is why we don't allow hearsay in, because you don't understand. It lacks demeanor evidence, and it lacks reliability and trustworthiness. There's so much to talk about. That's why you've got to stay subscribed here. And if you really, really want something, or I can go really far, because you've got to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. I'm sorry to say this, because there are people who, as you know, there are folks who, for reasons I don't understand, but I can't figure out sometimes, there's stuff on media that they don't want you to say, social media. This, by the way, is my private channel. This is where I get to talk about music. I get to talk about blues. I get to talk about jazz. Sometimes things that are rather arcane. And I also get to talk about it in ways that I want, uninterrupted, without any worry about somebody saying. Because I'm telling somebody right now, listen to what I'm saying. Be very careful about what you're saying about COVID. Be very careful about what you're saying about things like vaccines and about problems or whatever. I'm telling you. People are under the impression, like, well, the coast is clear. Really? You sure about that? You sure about that? Be very careful, my friends. Lori Cuck says, I'd like more vids of college classrooms. Well, you know what? I wonder about that. And you know, Lori, I thank you, by the way. I don't know what I would tell young people today. I don't think college is for an 18-year-old. Sorry. You're actually talking about Socratic reasoning and you're talking about Schopenhauer to an 18-year-old? Come on. You don't know anything yet. Your brain doesn't stop developing until it's 25 years old. You're not ready for this stuff. These are professional students. These are people who want to keep going. But it was a different time then. It was a different time. We could handle regimented stuff. We were of tougher stock. Kids today don't do that. So I want to say one more thing about Alec Baldwin. Please be fair. Like people, but don't give them a pass. Hate people, but don't give them a pass in the opposite. Alec Baldwin can say things and do things right. He could be he's a jerk. I don't want to know him. You don't want to. Well, we've all been blocked and all this stuff. Oh, yeah, fine. But in this particular case, he had it until he swatted it. He can't do it. He can't do it. I don't know about you, but after lawsuits and being, criminal investigations, I think he might be like Charles Whitman one day. God forbid he dies and they do an autopsy. You go, hey, he had a tumor. But this explains it. There's something with his anger. There's something wrong with him. There are other people who just, they don't do this. You never hear about this. You don't think Clint Eastwood? Remember Gene Hackman went after somebody, maybe not now, but years ago, somebody said something to his wife and we had these people like Marlon Brando did this. Sean Penn did this. We had all the drunks. Remember it was, Oliver Reed, Richard Burton, Richard Harris. Oliver Reed was just out of control. Keith Moon was more drunk, but they were always into fights. But they were drunk. And you get into these people. I was like, I don't understand it. I do not understand. You would think at this particular point. And you're an actor. Here's the best part. You're an actor. You have to know how to contain and to maintain, you know, anger. And I don't. But in the meantime, nobody really cares about the people that they supposedly care about, and that is the people in Palestine. All right, dear friends, have a great and glorious day. Thank you. Please let me remind you, please, 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 please follow Mrs. L right here, Lynn's Warriors right here. Lynn's Warriors. Hang on a minute. Follow just a minute. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Follow Lynn's Warriors on YouTube. Follow this right there, as the screen indicates. YouTube Lynn's Warriors. Follow her right now. Fight, 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 and follow, fight. What does that mean, fight? Follow her at Lynn's Warriors and also at Lynn's Warriors on X. I hope you thought, and one more time, me on, of course, Lionel Legal. I hope you've thought about today. I hope you appreciate this thing called nuance. Think about it. Think about it. The next time they talk about Alec Baldwin, say, yeah, but, you know, or about protests, yeah. But yeah, free speech. Well, yeah, but yeah. What about the, you know, the Gaza? Yeah, but this, but how? And the media, remember, if you don't understand the role of the media have, in many respects, they have basically dismissed any and all. Whenever they hear Gaza, whenever they hear Palestinians, they think of Ilhan Omar's daughter. And they say, I don't want to hear about that. That's exactly what it is. And that's exactly by design. Think about that. All right, dear friends, have a great and a glorious day. See you tonight at 7 p.m. And until then, remember, the monkey's dead. The show's over. Sue you. Da-da.